Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We have a great show today. Before I get to this great show, I want to thank our sponsors for Remove It Restoration. Has your business been vandalized with graffiti? Have gang members destroyed your business storefront? Call the professionals at Remove It Restoration. They remove all vandalism, they restore etched windows, and get your business back to brand new for a fraction of the cost. Your business image is important. I mean, what's more important than that? So you don't leave it in the hands of the amateurs. Call the graffiti removal team at Remove It Restoration at 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. I'm telling you, these guys, they're friends of mine. Eric, great guy. He sponsors fighters. He's looking to sponsor other fighters. He's a great dude. He loves MMA. He's got a great company, and he sponsors Roxanne Modafferi. Also, guys, Dude Wipes. I'm telling you, my ass smells amazing. I had 12 chicks eat my ass this week. Wow. Okay, what? That's just on the way over here. I'm telling you, Dude Wipes has changed my life. Guys, it is time to stop smelling having your ass out there. Jake Ellenberger actually never texts me. I got to text him 8 times to get 1 text back. He goes, hey, man, bring more Dude Wipes. I like that. I swear to God.
I like the product.
Right?
Yeah, it's a bring great some product. For me, too.
I will bring. Marina's been using them. I'm telling you, Marina has had her ass eaten all week long.
All week long.
So.
Multiple times.
They are flush. Really? Oh, no. So they are flushable. They're made of aloe, vitamin E. They are, I'm telling you guys, step up your game. Dude Wipes, amazing.
Get your
and
ass clean.
I want to thank our, and you, by the way, you can get these at amazon.com/dude products.
Don't be nasty.
That's amazon.com.
Be a dude.
/dude products. Yes, don't be nasty. Be a dude. And finally, we have our new sponsor, HempCorp.
HempCorp.
HempCorp. Guys, listen, HempCorp is a Canadian company started by two brothers, keeping the family. They supply its athletes with 100% certified organic hemp protein, as well as natural hemp protein. It's produced using defatted hemp seed from plants grown on the Canadian prairies by certified hemp growers. It's a great alternative to processed supplements that include a ton of unpronounceable ingredients. There's no added flavoring, color, chemicals, or byproducts. Check the label. It's also allergen-free. No gluten, soy, or lactose. It's GMO-free, suitable for anyone looking for protein alternative, including vegans, vegetarians, kosher, I know Marina's Jewish, and halal diets. Now, four tablespoons provides our athletes with 16 grams of highly digestible protein per serving. Trust me, guys, I've been taking this stuff. I've never felt stronger. I've been taking it after my workouts. I'm actually going to start getting jacked. You're going to see me and be like, oh, is that Jake Ellenberger? No, it's Adam Hunter. That's, I'm telling you, it's used by fighters all over North America. Does not contain illegal ingredients, so you're not going to fail a drug test. Vanderlei Silva, take some HempCorp. Okay, Anderson Silva, take some HempCorp. Chael, HempCorp. Okay, you won't fail drug test. Now, you can get it at... on the MMA Roast, but you can get it at hempcorestore.com. That's HempCorestore.com. Free shipping orders over $100. And use the code Adam, and you can receive 15% off. Also, they take Canadian money. So Americans, you'll like save money. Okay, now that being said, we have a great podcast today. We have Art Jimerson, the legend. Art Jimerson, UFC 1 in studio right now. I can't believe it. He actually brought one glove. Art, before we get to you, but you are a legend. I'll talk about my week for a second. I had a great week. I did a show. I've been dating this girl. We went out to karaoke on Tuesday, porn star karaoke, which is it's fun.
Where is this?
It's in Burbank. It's all these porn stars. They give out porn and they do karaoke. I was there one time, actually, funny story. I was there with Ron Jeremy at my table in Be Real, and then Tommy Lee walked in. And I'm sitting there with these three people, and then all of a sudden, it was like right back in the day, these girls, like Christina Aguilera's Dirty came on. It was like that was that long ago, and all these chicks were just going at it with each other and like freaking each other. And one girl goes, Tommy, look at my tits, and shows her tits. And I'm like, what is Tommy Lee going to do? He took a lighter and tried to burn the girl's tits. It was very strange. Crazy story. Anyway, but back to so I took this date to porn star karaoke afterwards where I like this girl. I actually do, and I told Jake this. So we go in my car, we're hooking up. She gives me a great BJ, which is great.
My
like
God.
The windows were fogged up. It was awesome, right?
One of those.
And then she gets on her knees, and I like titty banger. It was amazing. And then she wanted to have sex in the car, and I was like, listen, no, because we haven't had sex yet, and plus I'd already busted. I needed like 20 minutes anyway for recovery time. But I said, but now that I'm on hemp core, it's only 15 minutes. So I said,
you got a blowjob and you titty banged her, but you just didn't want to take it to the next level of sex.
I that's what I said, and then she goes, she goes, you know what? You're so classy. I was like, I go, really? I go, I just titty fucked you on my Honda Civic. How classy am I? But it was awesome. Like, while we were hooking up, she's like, I feel like I'm in high school. I'm like, what fucking high school do you go to? Like, Jesus Christ. Fucking Marina, you can laugh at the mic. You don't have to laugh to yourself. Marina.
Why are you crying?
Why are you crying?
That's just funny.
So, yeah, so that
but
was.
She respected the fact that you didn't want to hook up right then.
I honestly did.
You pretty much could have done everything else.
I didn't want to bang her for the first time. I actually like her. She's a great, great chick.
Oh, and I'm sure she is.
She no, listen, hater. Okay,
I'm not hating.
You
more
are,
power to you.
Fuck yeah. So so that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I did a show at Russell Simmons Comedy Night.
I'm sitting over here.
Russell Simmons Comedy Night, right? Mm-hmm. And Russell Simmons is there. It's all black movie theater. It's a movie theater. It's all everyone's black, which is fine. Great. I love black crowds. And Russell Simmons is there with a girl who's like in her 20s. It's like a hot model. And I'm on stage and I'm like, it's an honor to perform in front of Russell Simmons and his granddaughter. And everyone's like, oh, shit, running out of the fucking movie theater. It was that was awesome. Then then Friday, I got tickets to the Bellator fight. I went to the Bellator fight. Oh, we'll talk about that. I had a blast. I was hanging out with Phil Baroni, who's on a mission to fight Joe Schilling. I mean, he went to Bellator just to find Coker and to corner him. And I'm like, he's like, dude, suplex city, bitch. Suplex city. I'm going to fucking suplex him. He's like, I'm that fucking jabroni. Oh, it's a fugazi. Like, so I'm hanging out with Baroni. Don Fry came to my show, which was another surreal moment to hang out with Don Fry. He's like, hey, man, partner, you're pretty fucking funny there. You know, I thought you were going to suck like all liberals. You know, like that was awesome. And then I saw Mayhem. Yeah. Who looks great. I'm not sure if he looks great because of court, but he does look like he cleaned up his act. He's looking for a fight. He told me he's looking for a fight. And then at the Bellator fight, we're going to have David Terrell on our next show, but David Terrell was I got a crazy story about David Terrell. And anyway, so, and then Tito was there. I was going to make a joke about Tito, about saying how big his head was, that I couldn't see any of the fights. He blocked the hole. But then he looked very angry. He was with Amber. Amber was nice. So I did a show. That was great. So, yeah, I had a good week. Marina, how was your week?
Week was good. Training's really intense right now, so I'm just sore and hungry a lot.
Nice. And how's the guy that you're sort of seeing? Are you seeing anybody? No. Mm-mm. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks for sharing. And Jake, how was your week?
It was good. It was good. Me too. I'm boring when I'm training. Getting ready for July 12th.
Really? And a baby? When's the baby due?
The end of June. She's due the end of June. So
nice.
Yeah. Also, we're pretty much ready. We're pretty much set for that. But yeah, things are good. I won a poker tournament online. I was pretty excited about that.
No so, way.
Yeah.
How much you win?
Yeah. That's not important, Adam. But, yeah, like, so that was cool.
A couple
what
thousand?
What a class act, Jake. What a class act.
Yeah, I was excited. I was excited about that. So
this guy.
That was my weekend.
This guy goes to
he can do no wrong in my eyes.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Really? I like to do some wrong in your eyes. Literally in your eyes.
Too late.
Okay, so anyway, Art Jimerson is here.
You wore that hat. That was way wrong.
Yeah. Who me?
Yeah, the dude wears
that's hat. A great hat.
Such a good hat.
So, Art Jimerson, how are you, man?
I'm great.
So,
in the building.
Now, you are a legend. Now, let's get to the whole Art Jimerson story.
Okay.
So, you're ranked. You grew up where? In St. Louis.
Yes.
You were Golden Gloves champion.
Yeah, National Golden Gloves.
National, not just the St. Louis Golden Gloves. The whole country.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you're a boxer. You're ranked eighth in the world. Mm-hmm. How long have you been boxing before UFC 1?
Probably about close to 15, 20 years.
15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So, why did they pick you to fight Hoyce Gracie?
Well, I heard that they had already tried to get Leon Spinks and another fighter, another top 10 fighter, but a lot of them would just said no because it was, too much.
Talk a little closer.
I'm sorry. it was too much of a different sport, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it was out of fear. I don't know what it was.
But, right.
With me being in the top 10, they wanted to use a real fighter.
So they go to Leon Spinks. Leon Spinks says no.
Yeah.
They go to Tommy Hearns.
No, they went to another fighter. He fought Tyson. I forget the guy's name.
The guy fought Tyson.
Yeah, heavyweight guy. Yeah.
All right, so then they said you, and then you're like, ah, fuck it.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my manager is a big brother to me, a guy named Ernest Hart.
Yeah.
He's out of St. Louis, karate guy. He told me months in prior that he might have something for me to look into if I'm interested. I said, okay, you know, I'm up for it. I hadn't lost in almost, 15 fights, 3 years, so I figured, you know what the heck, I'm a fighter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was up for it, and I agreed to it.
Okay, so they told you that you'd fight the smallest guy.
Yes, the smallest guy. And basically, you know, they gave to me, like he was just a chump. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm walking in there on free money, and one of you, $10,000 up front, and also you can win the tournament with no problem, you know?
$10,000, they said. Yeah. But didn't they offer you a part of the UFC?
Yes. Well, first they offered me
$10,000. Wow.
And then once they came back and they said, my manager looked into it and said, you know what? It's too barbaric. Don't do it. You got to fight coming up with Tommy Hearns in a couple months. Tell them no. So when I told them no, they tried to sue me. So then they came back and gave me Lords of London insurance. I agreed, okay, we'll go ahead and do it. And like I said, when I said myself hoist, it was to the point where, you know, come on, man, I'm going to kill this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Then they said, you know what, we have to get to the fight. In the meeting, they took me to the Sand City, or it's our first show ever, but we don't have that kind of money. But right now, we're hoping for a big gate. So if a big gate comes in, no problem paying you $20,000 right now. Or are you willing to take a percentage of the UFC? And my manager goes, no, you know, this thing is too barbaric. It won't last but a couple of years. Take the money and run. So I take the $20,000 and ran.
So you could have owned the card of the UFC right now.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, all right. Great, yeah. So so you now you decide to wear one glove.
Yes.
Now, why was that?
Okay. Again, for the 100th time, 1,000th time. Now, what happened is that again, I had a fight coming up in about 3 to 4 months for a big fight with Tommy Hearns.
Right.
Make a lot of money out of this fight. And I had already been in the top 10 fights the last 5 years. So basically, it was a fight we were looking forward to. And Tommy was a good friend of mine. So basically, I was excited about it. And, you know, going into the fight, again, once they gave me the rules, there was no rules, basically,
yeah.
You know, except for gouging in the eyes, I guess, hitting, pulling hair or whatever.
Right.
So, I've been looking into it. If I'm knocking out guys with 60-ounce gloves on in the gym, I'm gonna break my hand on this guy's face.
Yeah.
Know? So I figure, you know what? I'm gonna wear one glove, just like, you know, tap him real soft and just kind of make him think he can come in, and then knock him out with the other hand.
Right.
But it backfired on me.
It backfired on you. No. He like takes you down, and then before that happened.
All right. What happened is that we're in the dressing room getting ready for the fight, and I'm the third fighter of the night.
Right.
So we're all out looking at the first two fights, like I usually do before a fight, just to get warmed up. So I'm looking at two fights. I'm way top of the High Mile Stadium, like in the 15th row up top. I look down, I see the first two fights. They were barbaric. And the guys were killing each other. It's like a street fight.
Yeah.
So I'm in the third fight. I go in the dressing room. I'm all hype, getting all sweat, you know, doing my shadow boxing. My manager literally comes back and starts crying. Like, all right, you know what? Don't do it, man. We're out of here. I said, huh?
Your manager started crying.
Yeah, my manager.
Right.
He's literally crying. So he goes, you know, we're lawyers. They try to sue you. We got your back. I said, you know what, man? I said, it's too late now. I'm already here. I'm not going to punk out. I said, you know what? I said, let's just do it, you know? So I'm all like confident, ready to go.
Right.
He took like a pin, stuck a balloon, you know? So finally, I go out there on a great fight hoist. And I come out, me and my, like Tyson, me and my trainers. Hoist comes out with like a whole line of people, like Jackson 5, you know what I'm saying? They're all like, you know,
squad up.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, what's going on? I'm fighting him with the whole family, right?
Right.
So get in the ring, and I never heard of Hoist Gracie, never, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in there, and it's like, you know, R. Jemison from St. Louis, you know, seven in
the
world.
You know, how long before did you know who you were fighting, like before?
Well, I knew the name. I knew.
Just told your name?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I knew the name, but who was Hoist Gracie? It's like John Doe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And going into a fight, me as a fighter, it's like you know, there's a certain statement that goes, you can look in the guy's eye and see his soul. I saw Hoist. Hoist was like, I won't say he feared me, but I can see he was a concern there. Not only him, but all the other fighters too. Everybody was kind of like freaked out because it was the first one ever, you know?
Right.
We never knew.
Mm-hmm.
So after the first two fights, it was so barbaric. Everybody, what did I get into, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when Hoist came out, I won't say he feared me, but I know he respected me, okay?
Right.
So my whole thing was, I knew I had the edge on him, you know what I'm saying? I should have just rushed him, but at the same time, like I said, I didn't know. So we come out to the octagon. Like I said, you know, people are like going crazy. They're screaming, hollering, you know, more, like dogs, like ready for some meat. You know what I'm saying? So, but bloodthirsty. I mean, I'm not nervous. I've been in this position 100 times.
Right.
So I'm ready to fight Hoist, and it really got to me when the announcer goes, and in the blue corner, or whatever, R. Jemison, two claps, right? My manager, right? My trainer.
Two claps.
Man, when they said Hoyce Gracie, the whole place erupted so loud, I had to hold on to the fence because I was about ready to fall.
Right.
I was crazy. I'm like, who am I fighting? You know what I'm saying? Godzilla, you know? So when Hoyce came out, Hoyce came out on the softball side and he threw two kicks at me.
Yeah.
And again, I'm used to seeing punches, not kicks. You know what I'm saying? So I figured I'd go ahead and try to move laterally. Because looking back now, it was just rushing me and just hitting him. But at the same time, like I said, who knew?
Right.
So when we started fighting, he came out on softball stance, so kicking me in softball. Then he kind of like did a little trick on me, and I went for it, and he got me under the legs and threw me over. And once he got me on the ground, I looked at the referee. Like, referee, all right, give me an eight count. I'm ready to get up.
Yeah, oh.
Eight count. It's like, see, I'm in a whole different world.
Yeah. So you're on the ground. Have you ever trained any kind of wrestling, jiu-jitsu?
No.
Never
no,
once?
No, nothing.
Did you think like this guy was, I mean, you know, wearing a gi, you're like, oh, this guy's wearing pajamas. It's a joke?
I don't know. I never knew anything about it. It's like Jordan going to baseball. Could you imagine that? You know? So like I said, the thing about it, people try to tell me, show me some things. I mean, even the referee, John McCarthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He took me in the back. He had his own different version about what happened, but I know what happened, okay? Like I said, so the whole thing, he tried to put like a little fear in me, trying to, I'm fighting Hoyce Gracie, but it's like, I don't care about no Hoyce Gracie, you know? no guy away, 175 gonna beat me. You know what I'm saying? Especially I'm number seven in the world. Plus, he's never had a fight before, you know. But again, like I said, I give my hat off to him. He's a great, awesome athlete in his sport. But put him in boxing, what'll happen?
Have you trained since? Any jiu-jitsu or wrestling?
A lot, a whole lot. Once I came out to California 4.5 years ago, I came out here and they hired me right away as a trainer. So
you work at the UFC gym now, right?
Right. Yeah. Rover Rose, me also the one in Torrance, and basically, I just teach the fighters what they lack. Basically, like a lot of twisting and turning. I also throwing punches over the right way. A lot of UFC fighters are lacking the jab, the one, so just a basic boxing, you know. So with Hoyce, like I said, I was looking for a fight. I mean, a real fight. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, we talk about the UFC, some of the Ultimate Fighter. It is. You basically do all, everything goes. There's no rules.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, so we're going to get back to this. We're called Tyron Woodley right now because actually last week after the podcast, I got text from Tyron Woodley who was very upset with what was said and this and that. So he wanted to call in and give his version of what
was said on the podcast.
What was said on the podcast, between Jake Ellenberger and Tyron Woodley. He's also from St. Louis, Tyron Woodley. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk to Tyron right now. Then we're going to get back to Arch Emerson. We're going to talk about the fights this weekend between Frankie Edgar and Uriah Faber, as well as talk about the upcoming UFC 187 card, which is this Saturday night. Which I can't wait to watch. Jake, by the way, got moved to the Sunday card. We'll talk about that. This is going to be a great podcast. I'm already enjoying this. Where else do you get Arch Emerson, Tyron Woodley, and Gary Goodrich is also calling in. Big Daddy. We got a stacked show. We're going to hear more about Marina.
Whoa, don't exhaust yourself. Shit. You're like, oh, fuck, we got Marina in the studio.
I love having Marina.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, but Marina, you always have good sneakers, by the way. Are you a sneakerhead? Is that what they call
it? I used to be.
Okay, so we tried calling Tyron Woodley. He's not picking up the phone, even though we scheduled for have him on today. I would love to have him on. So we're also trying. I was at Bellator this week, and the big buzz was that David Terrell had gotten into a street fight a couple months ago with Tito Ortiz at the club at a nightclub, and Terrell got the best of him. So I was actually with Phil Baroni and Gorgeous George
I'm in the mix.
We're eating at like I was eating. I had a couple beers in me. I don't even drink. I was having fun. And David Terrell comes over, and then Baroni's like, "I thought you were on the card." And Terrell's like, "No, because Tito got me kicked off the card today, the Bellator card."
Really?
And so I guess at Bellator, Terrell was calling Tito out, calling him a pussy, this and that. All kinds of shit was going on. I didn't see that, but that's what I heard from numerous sources. Mm-hmm. So I said, "Dave, you want to come on the podcast and talk about this?" He said he would love to. So I have a text out to him right now, since Tyron Woodley is not picking up the phone. Maybe we'll get David Terrell. So maybe we'll get nobody.
Let me get this straight. Dave Terrell said he got in a street fight with Tito?
They were online at a club.
They're both in a line.
Online. And what happened was Tito said something to Dave. Tito took a swing at Dave. Terrell ducked him,
and then at the club,
Terrell hit him with like a three-piece combo, and then tried to go choke, and then actually, it was all whatever. Terrell ended up behind him and was almost choking him, would have secured the rear naked choke on a standing Tito, but was being nice.
Mazzagatti stepped in.
And didn't take him out. This is what he says. So we're going to call. Actually, Dave just said, just text me back, give me a second. Terrell's going
to
call.
I can't wait to hear this.
And hear this story.
I'm so excited about
this. So we're going to hear about this story about from David Terrell, and then hopefully Tyron will call in. If not, you know, shit happens.
I mean, it's 2015 too. It's like this is professional fighters are getting in the fight in the street, and this is 2015.
And supposedly Terrell was supposed to be on the Bellator card, but Tito wanted him off and got him kicked off the card because it was in Temecula, and that's and Tito owns Temecula. So so we're gonna call David Terrell, talk to him about this, get his side of the story. Hopefully, and Tito will tell us his side of the story, what would happen. But Art, have you any good street fight stories? Have you got any street back in the day?
Oh man, let's see, not really. You know what? As a fight, one thing about boxing and fighters, they don't fight. You know why? Because again, it's like they do so much training in the gym. It's like why? You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, Terrell actually has a record of, I looked him up, 6-2, has a win over Matt Lindland, beat some good guys. Beat some really good guys.
Beat some, yeah, definitely.
Lost to Evan Tanner, and there's no shame in that. Tanner was a great champion. Rest in peace, Evan Tanner.
Art, is it crazy to like to see what the sport is today, like with the UFC, where it's at today, and how much money it generates? Like, is that crazy for you to see? Like, that's got to be kind of a little bit mind blowing.
Yeah, it's real crazy, man. Because again, when I first got into it, like I said, they were offered, I think. It would be like $1,000.
Yeah.
And then I was the only one who got like $10,000, $20,000 basically. Mm. Once they upped the price. But yeah, looking at it now, man, again, we were told, my manager literally said, it's going to last a couple of years, no doubt.
But it almost did, though. I mean, The manager had a good point. It almost was. And that version of the UFC did die out. I mean, they added all kinds of weight classes.
And plus, in like 93, like that's a huge risk. Like, you know what I mean? It's a huge gamble on
right.
A sport that nobody knows.
I mean, I got
about.
A family, you know what I'm saying? I had kids, and it's like going to college, and it's like, you know, if I got hurt, I mean, you know, what would I do? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So finally, we agreed on insurance. The funny story I had was this. 10 years after the UFC, I'm at home training. I had three gyms I was training out of. And I have a couple of attorneys I trained, some doctors. Well, Evander Holyfield was a good friend of ours. He came in town. Mm-hmm. And we all trained together. We went out to eat that night, me and our ladies, our wives, and our families. So we're all eating at this real, real exclusive restaurant downtown on top of a hotel. It was real nice, man. So we're eating. And these two guys walk by, kind of bulky, you know, with tattoos on. And they look over at me and Evander, and my attorney, and our ladies, and go, "Oh my goodness, Art One Glove Jimerson." And again, this name, One Glove, wasn't my name. My name was King Arthur, my boxing name, okay? So when they say One Glove, I'm like, who is One Glove? It's like somebody tattooed on me without me even agreeing to it.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, One Glove. So I looked over, I was like, kind of like double look. Then they look over and go, "Oh my goodness, Evander, real deal Holyfield." I can't believe this, right? You know, two legends or whatever. So then they come over to Holyfield and goes, "Mr. Holyfield, you know, we're a good fan of yours. We're a big fan of yours. Can we please get a picture with him or One Glove Jimerson?" I was flabbergasted. I was like, that's when I first knew how big the UFC got. Because I was so, I had been hidden for almost 10 years because, again, I was so embarrassed by how I lost the Hoist. And plus, back then, back in 93, that's when email first came out on the internet. And it's like, I was really getting dogs out, man. People call me all kind of names, punks and all kind of blanks. And it's like, you know, you don't even know me, you know what I'm saying? But they're telling me I shouldn't have tapped out, the fact of tapping out too early. And it's like, I couldn't do anything, you know what I'm saying? But now that it's like 20 years later, now they're saying, oh, now we know he lost to Hoist Gracie, you know?
Yeah,
but plus, let's say that the UFC did fall out. I mean, no one remembers who lost an X-arm, you know, like who lost, you know what an X-arm is, Marina?
No.
Exactly. It's this, what's it called again? Over-the-top arm wrestling competition where you can punch with your other arm.
Oh, wow.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it didn't really last. I think it lasts like one.
Is there a females division?
So
is
I'm
it on
saying,
YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Look up X-arm. Man. So,
as far as like that era too of boxing, like, because you know I was a big fan of Roberto Duran, you know, Hearns and all this. Who is someone like you like looked up to, like you want to be like? Is there a specific boxer?
There was a guy, believe it or not, there was a guy named Salvador Sanchez. Oh my goodness! Well, the true story. I was getting ready for a fight. Well, I was at home training and I was in the top 10. Got a phone call from Emmanuel Stewart, who's like a legend, a Tommy Hearns trainer. A manager, rather. He called me. Hey, Art, you know, we just came out here. I work out with Tommy for a couple of weeks. He's getting ready for a big fight, a title fight. we're interested in you working out with us. I said, cool. So they flew me out of Detroit. I'm in Detroit, and then here come, you know, walking in like my legend Tommy Hearns, Michael Moore, who's a champion, all these different fighters from Kronk Gym. Kronk Gym was like one of the
Oh yeah, Kronk was the shit.
So I'm over, I'm training out with Tommy, and I'm working out with Tommy. They were so impressed with me, man. Emmanuel took me to the stats. They look, Tommy wants to sign you to a contract. He wants to be your manager, and he'd be a trainer. But at the time, I turned it down because at the time I was signed with a guy in St. Louis who worked at Howard Bush. But I was the dumbest thing in the world.
So you turned down ownership of the UFC and now managed by Tommy Hearns. Yeah. Seriously, wow. Guys, if you have any type of business advice, don't hit up Art Jimerson, okay?
Yes,
do whatever he tells you to do, do the opposite.
Yes.
Art's so they offered me Microsoft, I said, no, I'm not gonna, this computer thing's not going to last.
it's like Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, and people think he's a joke. It's like, look at where it is now. Yeah. But I mean, you know,
sometimes,
I was trying to be honest. I really was. Because I had a good heart. So I was like, you know what? I just can't be like, you know, a prostitute going from manager to manager. I have a good name. You know what I'm saying? So my thing was, I was loyal to this guy in St. Louis. So it's to the point where, you know, I did want to go with Tommy, but like, again, what can I do? You know what I'm saying?
What was it like training with Tommy?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I mean, this guy, one of the greatest, man. You know what I'm saying? I was kind of at first nervous, and then once I got into the groove, I mean, he was really impressed by me, like basically working out with him. I would just give him great hard work.
Now, we had Russell Peters in here last week, or 2 weeks ago, who claims that Hearns would have beaten Mayweather. What do you think?
Different eras, man. I don't know. Like I said, Tommy's, I mean, it's hard to say, man.
It's hard to say?
Yeah.
Also, I watched a thing on YouTube last night, and I'm like, this guy... Art Jimerson's got balls of steel, but he needs a better guy to tell him, don't do that.
Yes.
There was a video of you training with Don the Dragon Wilson, who I guess was this big karate guy at the time. Huge.
Even now,
he's in movies. Yeah. And you're fighting with him for like six rounds.
Yes.
He's kicking.
Yes.
And punching, and you're only punching.
Right.
And so a lot of times you're starting to do well, and then he just kicks you in the head.
Right.
And then you fall down.
Right.
And everyone goes going crazy.
Right.
And then you get up. You're like, but why the fuck? Why are you doing that?
Okay.
This is the story. Story is, a few years before that, Don tried to come into the boxing. Like I tried to go into the UFC, and came out to the Broadway Street Gym in Los Angeles, and. We did about 4 or 5 rounds. I busted him up pretty bad. I had his nose bleeding. So, again, I don't remember this. Like I said, I remember we did it and it was over with. Well, a few years later, I'm having a managerial problem. So I go back to St. Louis and they give me a call. Say, all right, look, we want to know if a kickboxer met a boxer in the alley, who would win? It's a theory, right? So I say, okay, we're going to pay you, I think, $1,200, $2,000. It'd be eight round, 10-round fight. But if you win the fight, we'll guarantee you $10,000 rematch. I said, who am I fighting? Don Wilson. Again, I don't put two and two together. So I get down to Florida, Cocoa Beach, and I'm going to fight Don. And I was like, oh, this is the guy I busted up in the gym, right?
Yeah.
But this time, they said, well, all right. Now, Sean Penn's brother, Chris Penn, is like his best friend.
Yeah.
So we're all there. Now, I'm training, and I'm getting ready for the fight. And Chris comes over and tries to look at me, trying to intimidate me. Make a long story short.
Chris Penn did?
Yeah.
What, by eating you or something?
Yeah. Well, he's just, you know, trying to look around and see how much. So I'm trying to fake it off like I can't really fight. And I don't want him to run away from me. Because I got a guaranteed $10,000 rematch. So we get to the fight, and he's only allowed to kick like, I think, 8 to 10 times around. But he's kicking like 100 times.
He's allowed
times
to kick you 8 times around. You can't kick him.
Right.
You don't even know how to kick.
Right. I'll just punch.
And so finally, you can only punch.
Right. This is really the first UFC if you want to act like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he kicks me. He kicks me 100 times in my right leg. And my leg's like a watermelon. It's so big, right? So in 6 rounds, we just still can't do it anymore. We just gave up.
You know? So if someone calls you tomorrow and says, hey, we want you to do sumo wrestling.
Yes, definitely. Call me.
Oh my God.
I'm in.
Yeah. We need to get in touch with the sumo organization immediately.
Because people keep calling you up and saying, hey, a boxer, all right, here, we want to know what it would like if a boxer fought a guy with a gun.
Right.
He's allowed to shoot you. Like, you have to start saying no to these things.
Yes. I need better management. That's what I mean.
I think, well, that's the thing, too, is like, you know, you look at the evolution of the sport, and people are always like, oh, who's going to win between a wrestler and a boxer? Yeah. You can name any style, and it's like, circumstantial. And there's so many variables. It's like, well, it just depends, because... You know, one guy's always going to be stronger than the other guy in one area.
Right.
But, you know, that's really how
we were talking during the break about, like, you know, you were ranked 8th in the world back when being that actually meant something in boxing.
Right.
It wasn't like now where there's like 500 things I'm for some reason I'm ranked 40th in the world and I never even boxed before. You know, but now it's ridiculous. But back when you were ranked, it was actually the guys fought each other.
Legitimate.
And there's not a guy in the UFC who could be ranked eighth in the world in boxing. There's not. Just like there's not a boxer right now who could be ranked eighth in the world in MMA.
True, right.
So it's just two different sports. Right. By the way, so we got him. Do I want to try calling him?
Give him a couple more minutes.
Okay, so David Terrell says give him a couple more minutes. He's going to tell the infamous street story. Now, did you guys watch the Frankie Edgar Uriah Faber card over the weekend?
I did.
Yeah, Marina, you watch it?
I got a couple clips from it. I had to go to work. I had training and work in the morning.
Okay.
So. Okay. I'm very well aware of what happened.
All right.
Let's just put it that way.
It was in my opinion of the fight, it was a good fight.
It was a good fight.
It was a good fight between two very equally matched guys where one guy is just a little better at boxing. Mm-hmm. And that at the boxing element of MMA, and that's what happened. You just
Frankie
just a little quicker, wrestling a little better. A little better.
Well, I think, too, with a misconception about wrestling, a lot of it's timing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Frankie's timing. Look at Jordan St. Pierre. It's like he's not the best wrestler, but his timing was the best. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, they talked about him wrestling Olympics. Like, that's a joke. It's a completely different sport. It's like, you know, throwing, like we just talked about, a wrestler into an MMA fighter, a boxer. And, you know, it's just different. But I would agree. You know, Frankie's one of the most consistent guys in the UFC. I mean, he's one of the most well-rounded guys. But he's had a lot of championship experience. You know, both guys are pretty evenly matched, like you said, but I think just the timing was better with Frankie.
And people complain it was a boring fight. You know what? Not every fight could end in a finish or a knockout. And other people are complaining, well, there's too much MMA. Then don't watch it. You know, these guys, just, as long as there are enough athletes out there that are world class that want to compete in MMA, I'm going to watch it. Okay, you don't have to complain. Oh, blah blah blah. I'm not waking up at 10 o'clock. I don't mind waking up at 10 o'clock. I watched Triple G fight at night. I watched the UFC fight in the morning. I had a good day.
By the way, Triple G
is a beast.
But
he did show some flaws.
He's a monster.
He was getting hit a lot, and he was getting hit by a guy who had seven knockouts in 30 fights. But what's gonna happen when he gets hit by Canelo? What do you think, Jake? Or Cotto? Well, I think he beats Cotto. I think Cotto's a little bit over the hump.
Yeah,
I think that it's hard to say. I think that'll be a great fight. That's the fight that's going to be a moneymaker fight for sure. You know, Triple G, he's one of the few guys, I think, in boxing, too, who's had, like, you know, 340 amateur fights, something like that. But, you know, Olympic silver medalist. Like, he went up the amateur ranks, and, like, he's definitely a skilled guy. I think he's probably going to not show a guy like Canelo as much, you know, just be as, I guess, as more open as he was with Monroe.
But he gets hit a lot, though. He does get hit a lot. He looked through all his fights. He does get hit a lot. And you know, you wonder if he gets tapped by the wrong guy or with the right punch.
Yeah. I think, with Monroe, I think he was definitely... He was definitely getting hit more than we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
You know? What did you think of the fight?
Yeah. Also, them guys, you know, when you see talk about Canelo or either Triple G, you see the difference in their punches. They throw a punch through a guy. Okay. A lot of people just throw a punch and just hit a guy. They throw through the guy. When you throw through a guy, it's a difference because in fact, you get all the pain going away.
So you're saying that that guy wasn't punching the guy that?
I'm not saying he didn't have it. Some people he just has that natural build.
Yeah.
Where he can throw, but he's been taught again to punt through a guy.
Right.
Well, the other guy is more of a just hit and run.
Right. You know, hit and run. Yeah. That's what the guy was doing. All right. So we're gonna talk about we're gonna talk to David Terrell. Then we're gonna talk about the Mark Munoz fight against Luke Barnett.
That was so impressive.
And then to go over the 187 fights this week, as well as have Gary Goodrich. Tyron Woodley. Did he text back, Evan?
Nope.
Okay. So he's ducking you, Jake.
Fuck you, bro.
I didn't invite him on the podcast. That was you, buddy.
But he knew you were here. He knew a time. What do you think?
I said what I had to say, so I'll leave it at that.
All right. I don't know.
And Jake continues to be the gentleman that we know him to be.
Gentlemen, you guys don't see... All right, you know what?
There's a phone call, Adam.
Yes.
I love this dynamic.
Hello.
Hey, David Terrell.
Hey,
it's Adam Hunter, Jake Ellenberger, Marina Shafir, and Art One Glove Jimerson here on the MMA Roasted Podcast. How are you, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. It was good reading. I met you at Bellator last week. I was sitting with Phil Baroni, Gorgeous George, and the Goes. You were in a really bad mood. You were in a really bad mood because they you were supposed to fight on the card and they wouldn't let you fight because you got into a fight with Tito. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really mad about it anymore, but yeah, me and Tito got in a little scrap on New Year's Eve, and you know, I got to be careful with what I say about Tito because I don't want him to sue me because he's that kind of guy,
right?
You know? So I really can't
go into
detail about why me and him fought. But I can kind of say it, like, along the lines. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, all I could talk about is my previous experiences with Tito.
Okay.
And I've known Tito for about, I don't know, 11 years. I mean, I've partied with the guy for, like, about 11 years.
Right.
And, you know, he's a douchebag. Like, he's a real douchebag, that guy. There's a lot of guys that, you know, have had, you know, their experiences with Tito, and my experiences with Tito have just been you know, the last 11 years is just, you know, you think you know a guy, you know, after partying for like 11 years, and he's just a real douchebag, that guy. For example, he's the kind of guy where, like, you know, he's Tito Ortiz, you know, he's, you know, a legend, fought UFC, he was a champion, you know, he'll go into a club and he'll get comp bottles, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you know, I mean, it's like I said, I've been partying with him for years, you know, and I'll come up and he'll get comp bottles, he'll charge me for the comp bottles. That's the kind of guy Tito is.
So he's charging you for bottles, you know, that he got for free.
So he is, yeah, more, like, Jewish than the average bottles, Jew. Right?
And then, you know, he will charge everyone at the table.
Okay.
He's just the kind of guy here, you know? And he did that to me, I don't know, like a few months back. And, you know, that really, you know, put a bad taste on my mouth because I went and Googled his net worth after that, and it said he was worth $15
million. So he's worth $15
million. And, listen, and I gave the guy $300 to kick it at the table just to be cool, and he wanted more money.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy Tito is, you know? So, you know, me and him scrapping, it was a lot of things that built up to that, you know, but what really, you know, kind of turned the tide with me and him was, you know, he hired me to help him with his fight camp with Alexander Flamenco, who was, at the time, he was the Bellator middleweight champion, and Tito had brought me in to give him some southpaw work, because I'm a lefty, you know, I'm similar height, you know, and similar build. No, not really a similar build, but you know what I mean? Like, I was giving him looks, you know, yeah. He hired me to come in, and, you know, he pays me $100 a day, and to get the $100 a day out of him, it was like I had the pride out of his hands, pretty much, you know? And then when he did pay me, he 1099'd me. I mean, it was just, you know, this dude's just.
Yeah. So you guys had just bad blood going up to it. You guys did party. You were friends. You were going to clubs together. So.
Well, look, and then look it. So, you know, when I helped him with that camp, right? There's this kid from Bellator, tough kid, super talented kid. His name's Brendan Ward. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, I heard of him. Yeah, of course.
But, you know, this kid is awesome. I mean, this kid's 185 pounds, and this guy was like a judo national champion. He's boxed his whole life. Like, this kid's, he's a good athlete, right? So anyways, you know, I'm down at the beach. I'm down there. I'm helping Tito get ready for Schmeichel, and it's just me. You know what I mean? It was just me at first, you know? It's like I went down to King's MMA and Hoskins Cordell was training him, and it was just me. And it's just like, you know, fuck, he just can't have one guy in his training camp. So I recruited this kid to, you know, to help with the wrestling and the grappling part of the training camp. And then, so we ran about Tito, hey, you know, we're going to bring this kid in. He was cool with it, right? You know, and the kid, this kid was tossing Tito around in training.
Yeah.
This kid was doing some judo stuff to Tito. This kid was 185 pounds, and he was throwing Tito around. I mean, I was impressed with this kid, you know. Anyways, so this kid, you know, he's, you know, I think at the time he was 22 years old, you know. He's a surfer kid from the East Coast, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so this kid was riding a skateboard around everywhere, and he's riding the bus around. And it's like, yo, Tito, get this kid a rental car and rent him a room. He's down there helping you get ready for this Shlemenko fight, you know?
Right.
And Tito's like, nah. He's like, fuck that. He goes, I can't afford it right now. I'm like, you can't afford it. You know? So then I just threw out there, you know, you're probably going to clear a mill. Now, that's just me just speculating. I didn't, you know what I mean? I don't know what he was making, you know what I mean? But I speculated it. And then he's like, ha, you know, like he texts me, ha. He goes, try, you know, I mean, I can't say the dollar amount just because I don't want him to do me or anything. And I'm like, well, you know, why don't you do your name? You know, it says you're worth $15 million. And he's like, ha, you know, try half that, you know? And it's like, what were we really asking for here, Tito? You know, $1,000 for a room and a rental car? I mean, like, pretty much, you know, and this kid was giving him excellent work. You know what I mean? Like, this kid was, you know, and then the kid had fought Shlemenko prior to Tito fighting him. So it was just, you know what I mean? Like, it was a good situation for Tito, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was me and this kid, you know, and so Tito didn't like me, you know, basically getting real with him. Like, yo, this is what it really is, man. Like, what's your, you know what I mean? Like, what's your problem, you know? And, you know, it's like he was being cheap. And, you know, like, I don't think he's used to people, you know,
standing up,
like,
to
telling him what's up, you know what I mean? And he didn't really like it. And so, you know, that's another, you know, reason me and him kind of, like, you know, started, you know, not to really.
So,
you know what I mean? Like, it led to something that I can't talk about because of legal stuff that's, I think, that's going on right now.
Oh, can I talk? All right, can I talk about it? And you'll kind of sort of like wink or something, or just give me like a. All right,
I had to talk to a few people and ask them what I can and can't say, just because, you know.
Right. So you
know what I mean? Like,
so you
people
guys
are getting sued right now over certain shit. And, you know what I mean? I don't want to.
So you guys are online at a club, and Tito throws a punch at you, or he says something to you. He throws a punch. You dodged a punch. Hit him with a...
So the situation that I can't really talk about, what had happened was Tito had went on social media, right? And he started talking shit to... he started talking shit to somebody that's a friend of mine. And it correlates to the whole situation, you know, but, so anyways, when Tito put all the business out there, you know what I mean? I went on social media and I pretty much clowned Tito. And okay. I pretty much told him this. I said, look, Tito, this isn't the early 2000s. You're not UFC light heavyweight champion. The reality of this, Tito, is you're 1-8 in your last 9 UFC fights. You're pushing 40. And, you know what I mean? Like, the damaged product because you broke your neck when you were training to fight Rampage. And, you know, Bellator, they pretty much gave you a gift fight fighting a true welterweight in Shlemenko at 3 rounds. You know what I mean? And, you know, like, you know, so I don't want to put the other details that I put in there.
Right.
But I pretty much made fun of him, like, you know. You know what I mean? Like, he's an old man, you know, and, you know, Bellator, you know, they, you know, I mean, I can't really.
Right. So then like he
I
sees.
Said,
so then, so then...
He says, but he didn't like what I said. He's like, what, Dave Turner? All right. He goes, I'll remember that, you know? And then, you know, he said some good shit. I clowned him how, you know, he got beat up by Rashad and he got beat up by Lashita. And I just started, you know what I mean? I went all in on him, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because he was talking shit to me. And then so that was that, right?
Yeah.
And so then I seen him at Bellator when he fought Bonner. I was in Bonner's corner. kind of like staring him down, you know, because Bonner's like one of my good buddies.
Right.
And he beat Bonner. And he didn't say nothing to me at the fights. But then on New Year's Eve, you know, now we're getting to the story. On New Year's Eve, you know what I mean? Me, some buddies, we were going into Dre's. And I don't know if you're familiar with Dre's.
A little bit.
But, yeah, it's an after-hour club in Vegas. It's, like, one of the best ones in town. And, you know, everyone, after the nightclubs are winding down, everyone goes there. Well, me and some buddies, we went there. And we were standing in front of this podium where you, you know, they write you a slip and then you walk in. Well, where the podium's at, it's inside these ropes. And you can't get in unless they let you in. Well, Tito, I guess he saw me, so he decided to let himself in the rope, you know, with his, you know, his buddy and his girlfriend and his girl, and closed the rope. And then the guy's like looking like, hey, man, you can't be doing that. And then he starts name-dropping himself, how he's Tito Ortiz and how he fought with Bellator. Just some real douchebag shit, you know what I mean? Just like, he's pathetic, you know? Who does that? Who name-drops himself, you know? So anyways, he starts name dropping himself to the guy, and they think one of the hosts, he recognizes him, but he's like, hey man, you gotta wait behind this party, you know?
Yeah.
Which is my party. So then he walks by me, and when he walks by me, right, he like, you know, he tries to like get in my face kinda, but like he's like walking by like he's like talking to me, right?
Right.
And all I did was nod my head, what's up, you know, like just you know, what's up? You know, I didn't say nothing. And then he stopped. He goes, he got my face. He said, motherfucker, don't say what's up to me. And like, as soon as he did that, my instant reaction was, you want to fight? Like, I got back in his face. And then as soon as I did that, he swung on me. He threw like a left hook. He swung, and it was just so slow. Like I seen it coming from a mile away from my peripheral, and I just slipped back. He missed, and then I hit him with a left right.
Okay.
To his chin, knocked him back like 3 feet, and this was like in front of like 100 people, and we were about to it was about to like get real, and then fucking somebody had grabbed him to like the fight wouldn't go down. And then he like shook that guy off. And then somebody else came from the crowd and cracked him in the face. and then security tried to freaking tackle him. He hit them pretty hard on the security guard so they didn't take him down.
Yeah.
Which is like a natural, it was a natural reaction on his part. And then I see him swing on someone else, and I'm like, holy fuck, he's just swinging on people now. So I got behind him, and I grabbed him, like, around the neck, and I wanted to slip in a choke. So I was like, nah, fuck that, I gotta do that. That's mean, you know? I mean, I should have now, but, I didn't. And then I fucking drug his ass to the ground and told him to fucking chill the fuck out, kick back, to be swinging on people.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
So he's on the ground. He's on the ground.
I got him. I got my arm around his neck, and I yanked him to the ground.
Was he tapping?
No, because I didn't sink in the choke, even though I fucking wanted to.
Right.
I was like, I can't do that to the dude because I would have put him to sleep, and it would have been not cool.
So then fast forward to last week's Bellator event. I heard you were calling him a pussy at the event, right?
Yeah. When Kendall Grove was fighting my boy Brandon Halsey, he was running up to the corner, and Biscuit was looking at Tito like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like I'm cornering him, Because, he's not a corner man. He's a,
Yeah.
He's over there yelling stuff, And I stood up and I said, Tito, you're a pussy. And he looked over and he started to say something, and then he saw it was me, and he turned around and walked away.
So do you want to fight Tito in the next Bellator event?
Oh, man, I can't fight that dude in an event. Why? Know, just because I fight welterweight. He's a, you know, he's like heavyweight. But I'd love to fight him in the street, though. That'd be a whole, you know what I mean? And that's a whole different fight right there. You know what I mean? A street fight with Tino all day.
So what's going on with your career? Because at one point, like I was talking to Jake, you were one of the hottest prospects in MMA. I mean, you had knocked out Matt Lindland in 25 seconds.
No. See, there's two Dave Thrills, okay? See, there's the NorCal Dave, and then there's the Vegas one. I'm the Vegas one.
Okay.
I fought in a WEC.
You fought in a WEC. Okay.
I fought WEC, King of the Cage, and, you know, that.
How's your career going?
You know, I have been offered to fight Bellator a lot, but there were, like, 5 weeks, 4 weeks notice, you know, and I just was like, nah, you know, I'm not trying to fight no short notice, you know, fights, you know. So I waited, you know, and like, you know, I mean, I haven't fought in like 2 years because I was kind of waiting for the right fight to come along. And I had gotten contracted to fight a guy from Team Quest for his last Bellator, but, you know.
So what's your record right now?
It's 7-7.
Seven and seven.
You know,
but you're 1-0 at Dre's.
What?
You're 1-0 outside against Tito at the Dre's nightclub. You're 1-0.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know, yeah. Tito, yeah, he wasn't expecting that to happen. You know, he didn't think I was going to,
right,
you know, light him up like that, you know. But he should have known, man, because me and him sparred so many hours, you know, and like, you know what I mean? Like, me and him scrapped.
So
you know what I mean?
And you get the best of him during sparring?
Oh, fuck yeah. Like in the stand-up? Yeah, Tito's stand-up is garbage. It's not that good. I'm sure a lot of fighters can attest to that, you know?
Jake, do you have any questions for Dave Terrell?
He's slow. The first day that I trained him, I tapped him out with a head-on triangle choke.
The first day you were training him, tapped him out with a
The first day I trained him at Rafael Cordero's gym, in front of Rafael Cordero, I submitted him. Yeah.
Wow. So. Yeah.
So Tito's got some good, you know, I mean, he's got some decent submission, you know. Yeah, he's a little slick, you know.
Right.
I trained him back in 2006 in Big Bear, and he submitted me with a knee bar that just out of nowhere. Like, I wasn't even expecting that one. So when I trained him this last time, I was like, I'm underestimating this dude. I'm going to come out there and, you know, and yeah, man. So, yeah, man, he tapped.
Okay. So
and then the stand-up, it was just, you know, stand-up. I mean, he's got power, but, I mean, I was taking him up all day, and I was kicking him with the liver shot because that's what Shlemenko was going to throw on him. So I was landing liver shots left and right on him with the left leg kick, you know?
Right.
He just couldn't see it coming.
So, well, listen, man, you know, thanks for calling in. Hopefully this will get you help get you a fight. I mean, you're 7-7.
The 7-7, you know, I mean, man, I've had some really shitty decisions not going my way, and, you know, it sounds bad, but, you know.
Who's the best guy you fought?
You can talk to other fighters, man. I've been robbed in a lot of fights, you know.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, but, you know, we all know how, you know, the judging goes, you know what I mean? And my last fight, I really got robbed. I mean, Mazzagatti was a ref, and, you know, he deducted 2 points from the guy, so the guy basically started the fight 2 rounds down, and like somehow he managed to win, and I knocked him down.
Damn!
I mean, all I had to do was win one round, and I almost finished in one round. And for some reason,
and who was this fight against?
Huh?
Who was that fight against?
He trained at Vanderlei's gym. I think his name is Mike Madrid.
Nice. Art Jimerson, do you have any...
I fought him at the Hard Rock, you know. Do you have any
questions for David Terrell?
Hey, Dave, how you doing, buddy?
It's Art. Hey. It's the legend, Art Jimerson's here with us.
And, okay. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing?
Jake Ellenberger, anything you want to say to David Terrell?
Oh, I was just fascinated with the story. I'm glad he's on. That was great.
Yeah, man. I talked to Adam, you know.
Yes.
Friday night, and he's like, yeah, man, you know, come on and, you know, talk. And so, yeah, sure, you know.
Hey, who's the best person you ever fought, man?
Huh?
Who's the best person you ever fought?
Man, I fought Tiki Gosin.
Nice.
Back in 2007 in the WEC.
Yeah?
You know, yeah.
Did you beat Tiki?
He had Tito in his corner. and I had Chuck in my corner, and Chuck had just knocked out Tito 3 months before that on the New Year's Eve card back in 2007.
Nice.
So, you know, I mean, it was kind of a big deal, you know. And
did you beat Kiki?
He didn't like me, and I didn't like him just because, well, you know what? I take that back. I didn't dislike Tito, Kiki.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Like, I fought Tiki because I was mad at Tito.
Right.
Because Kendall Grove, he had just won the Ultimate Fighter. He brought me out to Big Bear to help him train for his camp.
Yes.
And at the time, I was training with Forrest Griffin and, I was training with Gray Maynard, Mike Pyle.
Yeah, all the guys.
I mean, I was training, you know, with all the Vegas guys out here. And Tito, I guess, was going to fight Forrest. And Kendall had told him that I trained with Forrest, but I wasn't out there to spy or anything. I was out there to help Kendall. And anyways, Tito freaking, you know, he basically had me removed.
Oh, God.
From helping Kendall out. Well, he didn't have me removed. I left because, you know what I mean? Like, I told Kendall like this. I said, look, you brought me out here from Vegas, so I'm, you know, me and you, we're getting our 5 hours of sparring in every day, regardless of what you do with Tito.
Right.
So what Tito did was, he was like, all right, you know, so he basically made Kendall do the same thing. So Kendall would go 5 rounds with me, and then he would go 5 rounds with Tito. So Kendall was doing 10 rounds a day in Big Bear.
Jesus Christ. Well, listen, man, Dave, it was an honor.
And then long story short, fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I left, and then I might offer to fight with one of his boys, fought him, won, and then I was out.
Well, listen, Dave, it's an honor to have you on the show, man. Hopefully you get that Tito street fight that you want. Thanks for everything, brother.
Wait. I mean, you've been pretty shy, huh? You've been pretty shy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So listen, hopefully you get that street fight, and thanks for everything. But where can people find you?
It'd be nice.
Where can people find you on social media?
I have a Facebook.
Do you have a Twitter account?
Instagram. Dave_Terrell.
All right, cool.
One L on the Terrell. I mean, everybody puts two L's.
All right.
You know, I got one. You can find me on social media or whatever, you know.
All right, cool. Well, thanks,
man. Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, buddy.
You too. Bye. Yep.
All right.
Keep it real.
What'd you say?
Keep it real.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Ellenberger?
it was interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. It wasn't the NorCal.
Oh, yeah, Terrell. I thought it was a different David Terrell. I felt stupid.
For some reason, I thought it was...
I thought it was the other David Terrell. I mean, that's an easy mistake to make, right? I mean, you hear David Terrell MMA fight, you look him up, and then, right? That's an easy mistake to make, you think? No?
Yeah.
All right. Marina, what are your thoughts? Into the microphone?
I'm not surprised.
Not surprised about what?
I'm not surprised about Tito.
Really? Why?
Just not surprised. It's not the first time I've heard things like this about him, and I don't know the guy. That's all. I mean, it's just from what I hear out and about. I mean, I don't have an opinion on him. I don't know him.
Yes.
I've never sat down, had a meal with him. I've never broke bread with him. But this is not the first time I've heard things like this about him.
Who do you break bread with?
Who do I break bread with?
Yeah. You're like, I never break bread with him.
No, that's how you get to know people, is when you have a meal with them.
Oh, yeah.
And you sit and talk. And
by the way, my birthday is coming up Wednesday. I invite Jake.
You know what else is Wednesday?
What's that?
Woman Crush Wednesday. I'm just kidding. Continue.
Thanks. That's a great joke. So I invite Marina to my birthday, right? I'm having a little get together at the Haha. I can't. She's like, I'm in camp. Oh, really? When's your fight? We don't have a date yet. So I'm being stood up that she can't come out for half an hour at my birthday party because she's in camp to a fight that hasn't been scheduled yet.
Hmm.
Fucking respect, huh? None.
Yeah, Invicta, what the hell?
I get no respect.
Give me a date.
Art, you think you don't get respect? I don't get respect, man.
Oh.
So UFC 177.
Wait, really quick,
187,
Adam,
yeah.
Mark Munoz's fight. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yes.
I was stoked for him.
His last fight.
He was planned as his his exit and his retirement, so it went well. He looked great. And if you know Barnett, he's a dangerous guy. Like,
yeah.
Mark showed up to fight, though.
I told Luke, though, I was like, Luke, don't get in close with this guy. Don't try to stay on the outside.
Now you're giving him advice?
Yes. Does Luke listen? No. No one listens to me.
I mean,
okay, you got a guy.
Poor advice from Adam Hunter.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
He coaches.
I coach a middle school wrestling team. So look, shitty advice.
We need to just start listening.
That wasn't bad advice.
But if it was shitty advice,
don't let Mark get close.
I would have used dude wipes because dude wipes will take out any shitty advice. Okay, trust me, guys. You want your ass smelling good. Okay, you want it smelling fresh. I use dude wipes even when I don't take shits. Sometimes I'll just go and I will just, because it changed my whole life. Honestly, my life sucked before dude wipes. Mm-hmm. And if you guys could all, actually I had a couple people say, listen, that somebody said, Adam, my girlfriend ate my ass today, said it was a pleasant experience. Thank you, dude wipes. And another person said, Adam, a homeless guy ate my ass. Thanks, dude wipes. I'm telling you,
really?
So write the funny ones. I will retweet them because people have been doing that. Also, guys, Hempcore, I've been starting to take Hempcore, and my body is feeling amazing. I'm feeling stronger. Okay, my workouts are better.
You look leaner too.
I look leaner. I honestly have.
No, you look leaner.
You can mix it in a shake, sprinkle it on your dinner, slam it with water.
Sprinkle that shit.
Hempcore. It's used by Jordan Mean. Uses it. Okay, there's a badass fighter, Jordan Mean. He's sponsored by Hempcore. Okay, guys. Fighters out there, it's 100% hemp. 100% hemp. You could buy it at hempcorestore.com. HEMPCORSTORE. Hempcore store. There's no E after the core. Also, dude wipes, you could get at amazon.com/dude wipes. And finally, guys, if your business has been vandalized, okay, which is a horrible thing, don't worry. We got you covered. RemoveItRestoration.com. RemoveItRestoration.com. We'll take care of it for a cheap price. Mark Munoz, what you said, I was so happy. His speech was awesome. A little long, but you know what? He's yeah. Earned it. I said it was longer than all of Ronda's fights combined. I'm happy for him. I'm really happy for him. Yeah, and you know what? Luke wanted the fight, and I hope he doesn't get cut. He lost 2 split decisions. This is his 3rd fight he lost in a row. But he's a good.
Oh no, I don't think he'll be cut.
He's nervous. He's nervous. He even tweeted Dana, "Hey, please don't cut me." You know, and I hope he doesn't get cut because he's a guy who, you know, he's just started doing MMA a couple years ago. It's a little new, but he's from England. Great ambassador of the sport. Puts on exciting fights.
You know, I have friends that train down Alliance too. He's a hard worker. You know, he's a hard worker, and he's getting better. I mean, you know. Fighting Munoz when he's on, man, that's a tough fight.
Yeah,
tough fight for anybody.
Right.
But with that performance, I would hope he wouldn't get cut.
By the way, the Kendall Grove fight that I was at, he fought that guy, Housley, mm-hmm. who you know, he said he like wanted steroid testing before. Look, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I have no proof, but I have never seen a more jacked fighter. I mean, it's like Sean Sherk times 4. This guy, and. I mean, this guy's an All-American wrestler, 2-time All-American college wrestler. He's tough to beat, this guy. He submitted Shlemenko in 30 seconds. He's undefeated. He really is, I think, that next breed of wrestler coming to MMA. Because once Kendall buckled him once at the end of the first. He did buckle him. But once these guys come in for a takedown, I don't know how you stop this guy's shot. He is just powerful, this dude.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Have you trained with him?
No, I have not, no. But he is—he's a tough. You know, he's got some good wrestling experience. But his downfall that that we saw—he had zero head movement. His head was straight up and down, and unfortunately, you know, he's gonna eventually someone's gonna catch him. I mean, Kendall's a tall guy too. I was like, he keeps a straight jab, straight punch. They're all gonna land. He doesn't move his head at all.
But. Yeah. And then my guy who I'm predicting as the next Bellator champion, that kid, national champion, the guy that beat Metcalf, he won his fight.
Oh,
Darren Caldwell. That kid's the next big thing. I'm calling it. Next 135, Bellator champion, Darren Caldwell. By the way, Neil Nemagny's on a 7-fight winning streak. And that dude, he used to be a kid on my wrestling team that would only start wrestling when he gets taken down. Like somebody would take him down, he would get angry, come back and beat the guy. I think everyone has an athlete they know like that. Mm-hmm. This kid Magny, I thought he was out in the first. He came back and the kid's fucking he's on fire. Seven in a row. He's your weight class, right? 170?
I believe so, yeah.
Honestly, after you beat up the Karate Kid, actually you're ranked higher than Magny,
even though rankings don't move shit.
But he's tough to beat. He's kid's tough. I think Magny's here to
who's
stay.
Who's he beat? Who's his wins over?
Don't know. Who,
just curious.
Evan's gonna pull it up right now.
All right.
Evan is so good, by the way.
It's hard. I mean, at this level, it's hard to get three or four wins in a row in any weight class.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Seven is a lot.
Props to him.
Notables: Tim Means, Alex Garcia, that yoked Cuban dude, William Macario, Kunimoto.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I like seven wins in a row, but not like huge names.
I would say Tim Means is the.
I'm sure he'll get a
best
big fight. Yeah. This next fight will be.
Now, also, this week, UFC 187. I keep getting the name wrong. UFC 187. There's some great fights. Who do we have? Starting with you, Daniel Cormier or Anthony Johnson? Marina Shafir's picks are
Anthony Johnson.
Really? How?
Decision.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jake Ellenberger.
That's a good fight. You know, I like both these guys. And I it's hard not to play the fence with this fight, but I'm leaning towards DC. You know, I really, DC's a good friend of mine. I think it's going to be a fantastic fight, though.
Art Jemison, who watches no MMA, who doesn't know either of these guys, what's your pick?
Both of them.
You can't pick both. A draw?
Yeah, DC and AJ.
Yeah, a draw.
A draw. Okay. A draw, all right.
Hey, that might be the.
Jimerson's picking a draw. Just so you guys know, what if he gets? He doesn't even know who these guys are. What if he gets everybody right? Okay. And then some other notable the undercard, Donald Cerrone against Fear the Fighter John McDessie. Who do we like in that one?
Oh yeah, is McDessie taking the fight on kind of short notice?
Very short notice, but okay. He fought like. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. I think Cerrone will probably win this fight, though. He's a tough guy to beat, especially coming on short notice.
McGuess is being sued, by the way, by Cerrone, by Musasi for Fear of the Fighter. Musasi looked great in his fight last week. We forgot him. He looked amazing against...
he just landed a really big sponsor, too.
Costa Filippo by a tire company, which is cool because he looked tired. No, kidding. He's good. That was a corny. Give me that.
I know.
Off the cuff. Don't say it's a good one, you fucker. You can't look at Marina. Jake is such an instigator. He is such.
What?
You like text people shit. I'm on to you, brother.
I'm on
to All right, so Chris Weidman.
How dare you text people shit?
No, but he
Jake
does it in
Elmer.
A way that, like, as in jokes a way. About me. All right, Chris Weidman, Vitor Belfort. I Weidman all the way.
Weidman.
Belfort doesn't have his Jesus juice, and I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna fall apart. I mean,
I agree. Weidman is. I just think it's Weidman's on the top of his game, man. He's hard to beat. I think he'll be unless Vitor catches him the first. Weidman.
Yeah, Vitor. Yeah, unless he catches. But honestly, I think juiced up TRT Vitor beats Weidman. I don't think anybody beats him. Look at the guy that came out against Luke Rockhold that was throwing Mortal Kombat moves. But this new Vitor Belfort, when you don't have the TRT, you don't have the mental aspect. You know, I've heard stories about Vitor Belfort, like before his fight with Wanderlei Silva. Rumor has it he was like underneath a. He was underneath a table, and he had to be convinced to come out and fight Belfort. He was like by Big John McCarthy, who then convinced him to come out. He destroys Wanderlei in 45 seconds. But legend has it, he's a mental case. So guys like that, when you have that, like that was a long time ago, yes. But at the same time, when you have that dependency on something to make you feel indestructible, and it's literally making you indestructible, and that gets taken away, come on, right, Jimerson? Thank you. All right, so Travis Brown.
I agree. I agree with what you're saying. I don't know. I've never taken testosterone, so I could not relate. But I would agree that that's going to have some sort of psychological effect. Yeah.
Evan the Beard.
Weidman, all day.
All right. Good. Now, Travis Brown, Andre Arlovsky. Travis Brown all day long.
Yeah, I got Brown. You know, one thing that was really surprised me about Travis Brown is he's so athletic. Like, if you see him run the track and just certain moves, like heavyweights usually don't move like that.
He's a college basketball player.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But, yeah, I'm going with Brown.
Travis Brown.
Yeah, I think I don't know how he wins, though. Does he knock him out? I think he stops him.
I think he stops him, too.
Yeah. I think he stops him in the first or second. Benavidez versus Moraga.
Oh, Benavidez.
Benavidez at a different level. Fought tougher guys. Now, Moraga fought the champ, but it just seems that he seems to beat the guys he's supposed to beat, lose to the guys who he's supposed to beat. John Dodson versus Zach Funsize Markowski. Marina.
I don't know.
You don't know John Dodson is?
No, I just don't know.
You don't know?
It's a good fight.
Why is it a good fight?
Because John Dodson. We'll just see. We'll just see. I can't. I mean, I was always leaning towards Dodson, but there are fighters that I'm not as familiar with.
You don't know Zach Markowski?
No.
Okay, that's all you got to say.
I know, but
okay, he was a Bellator fighter. Okay.
I know he came from.
Where'd he come from?
Bellator.
Okay, but where before that?
I don't know.
Okay, listen, I'll educate you. I think he went to Lock Haven. I think he was a two-time All-American, college wrestler, tough kid. 125 pounds. I think he dropped. I think he started at 135. He did okay. He actually came off a loss in Bellator. They came. He was a champion. He was a title holder for a second. Lost it. Lost two in a row in Bellator. Came back. And now is on a resurgence. I think he's won his last 4 out of 5. Tough guy. Seems to lose to the upper echelon of a guy, which is why I think he's going to lose to Dodson.
Mm. Well then.
Here you go. Off the dome. Okay, so
off the dome.
Dong versus Markowski. Dong Markowski.
Sorry, who's that?
I mean Dong Berkman.
Josh Berkman.
Josh Berkman against the Donger.
Dong Kim,
yeah. That's your weight class.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with Berkman.
Me too.
Yeah, that's a good fight though. I like it.
Marina? Marina likes a dong.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rose Namajunas versus Nina Ansaroff.
Rose all day.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you know the other girl?
I'm not impressed with the other girl.
Yeah, I looked at her wins. She's never beaten a girl with like a winning record. But Rose Namajunas seems like... But she trains over an American Top Team, and she's got good training partners. Mike Pyle versus Colby Covington. Colby's been on our show before, 7-0, All-American wrestler, two-time All-American wrestler, John Joe's roommate in college against Mike Pyle.
John Joe's roommate, you said?
Yeah.
Where at?
At Iowa
Central?
Central Community College or something.
That's probably it.
Against Mike Pyle, a guy that you knocked out, Jake Ellenberger.
I don't know, man. This is a tough one to call. Mike's obviously a vet, and he's got great submissions, but... It depends where this fight goes. You know what I mean? If the wrestler just controls him, then he could win a decision. But I don't know. It's hard to say.
All right. This is a tough one. I mean, I think it's a crossroads fight. And I hate to say it because I'm a big Mike Pyle fan. But this kid's wrestling is going to be tough to take. I've watched his fights before. He's a fucking monster. I like Mike Pyle too. He's a great guy. He's taken a lot. He's been in massive wars. But he's a streaky fighter. He's a guy who wins 7 in a row, loses 4 in a row, wins 10 in a row. Yeah. I mean, he
definitely puts on a show every single time.
And that's just his haircut. So, yeah. Justin Scoggins versus Josh Sampo. Both these guys are on two fights.
Never heard of these guys.
Two fights.
Justin Tank Scoggins. St. Louis guy.
Four-time state champion from South Carolina. He's like the pride of that Myrtle Beach area. However, he lost his last two fights. And Sampo lost his last two fights. You like Sampo in this fight?
I like Sampo, yeah. I've trained him quite a bit. He's my jiu-jitsu instructor, Rodrigo Vaghi from St. Louis. That's that's his coach. And he's a tough kid. I've seen him. I've trained with him. He's no joke.
So how does he beat Scoggins?
Submission, rear naked choke.
That seems to be Scoggins' Achilles heel. I'm picking Scoggins, though.
Okay.
I think he's going to grind him. So,
what are we betting here, Adam?
Let's bet a date with Marina. So,
I was going to say like some push-ups or something.
No, who, the loser has to make Al Marina.
Well, I can't do that.
Is this thing on? Do I get a say in it?
Yeah.
In this okay. In this bet?
Okay, the winner gets to feel her up. The loser gets to
whoa.
Make out with her.
Whoa.
Okay, so what you don't like these? These are just a friendly bet, Marina.
No.
Why do you have to ruin our
no.
fun?
No. No, it's like making out with your brother. I'm cool. I don't want to do that.
Look, I made out with my brother many times. It's way underrated. Listen, oh. No. There's so
dude wives.
A box of dude wives. Okay, a box of dude wives. Thank you, Art Jimerson. Okay. Now we have a quick phone call with Gary Goodridge.
Hey, Gary, you there?
Gary,
I'm right here.
Yeah, did you want to tell us about the night of the Oleg fight?
The Oleg fight. Yeah, I can tell you. You want a story about that?
Sure.
All right, are we on live TV now? On live radio?
Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, I'm supposed to fight Oleg. It was supposed to be my first fight. It was actually my first fight in Japan, outside of the United States. So they lined me up to fight Oleg. And I look at the roster, and I kind of looked to see what was going on, and they had set it up for me to lose to get to this Gary.
Yeah.
And I know how they set it up because he had just been beating a Spangin' Tank. And, Sabinin' Tank, and he had a really good record. And they set it up for me to lose. So I recognized that right away. So I went in there, and I said to myself, and I knew it was me because I recognized the voice. I said, self, you know what? You ain't going to lose to this motherfucker. I can use that word, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I said to myself, no, I mean, you ain't gonna lose to this motherfucker. So they hook me up. Then, we get over there and I watch everybody. It's my first time in a foreign country to fight. And I'm kind of nervous. I'm not sure what's going on. You know, we went through the P testing and the this testing and the that testing. And finally we can fight. And, we are the first fight on. Our fight was the first fight on the card, and I get out there and so I kind of sized him up the whole 3 days we were there first, and he looked strong and he looked like Oleg, of course, and you know I had visions of him just being able to hold on and do whatever and take whatever I can give until I get tired and then tap me out. So I didn't want any of that. So we get up and we start fighting. Just that day, jabbing, and then right away I realized he's scared. He's afraid. So anytime when you're fighting, your opponent's afraid, you gain power. You gain momentum with that. So I blew up in the cage in the first probably the first 30 seconds in the cage. He was facing Gary Goodridge when he first at the beginning of the cage. By the end of the first round, he was facing about 10 of me because I had that much power behind me. There was no way I was letting this guy take anything from me. You know, I just had to keep repeating that to myself. He can't beat me. He can't beat me. He's got to beat me. I don't have to beat him. And so on and so forth. So I just kept on telling myself that. Next thing you know, he's on the ground trying to run away from my punches.
Nice.
And then next thing you know, then we get on the ground. He's trying to run away from my punches. And I stand up and I step back and I came up with a giant kick to his face. It hit him right in the face and square in the face with my kick. It hit it like a slap. Bang! And then I broke my foot. When I kicked him in the face, his face broke my foot. So my foot it swelled up right away and I could feel that. I could feel right away that it swelled up because it was tight. I couldn't bend it. I couldn't do anything with my foot. Was actually the instep of my foot that was broken. And then what I did was after I messed around with him for a little bit, he stood back up, and I came over to him with a giant hand, a right hand on his jaw, and he was good night, Irene.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, here you are. I mean, Gary Goodridge, that's I love that story. I also love the story when you submitted the guy by squeezing his balls. That's my second favorite Gary Goodrich story.
Gary, you're the man.
You are the man. We want to have a regular segment where we call you and you tell us a fucking legendary Gary Goodrich story. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks for being on the podcast, brother.
No, I want to actually push my Twitter. Gary H. Goodrich. Gary. I'm Gary H. Goodrich. That's important to me. So please, if you need to get a hold of me,
yes.
I'm on there all the time.
All right, thanks.
It's only me, nobody else.
Gary, you're the best.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Gary.
I had a great time. Let me know when you want me again.
I would love that.
Bye,
man.
Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Have a good day, buddy.
All the best. Bye bye.
All right.
Gary Goodrich.
I love the old timers. Marina, it would help if you talk into the microphone. Thank you.
Sorry, holding it.
That's awesome.
I know. It's a very professional podcast here.
So we professional. Always run.
So, Art, where can people find you, man?
Facebook, Art Jimerson.
All right. But if I want to take boxing lessons from Art Jimerson, where do I go?
Let's see. ArtJimerson@yahoo.com.
Okay, but don't you teach right now?
Yes, sir.
So where? What?
I'm sorry, UFC gym, Rosemary, the Torrance. Also, I teach private classes outside of the gym, but that's where you can reach me at.
UFC gym.
Yes.
In Rosemead or Torrance.
Yes. Or for private classes, you can reach me at ArtJimerson@yahoo.com.
That's amazing. I want to take private lessons from Art Jimerson. How cool is that? Yeah. That's like the best thing ever. Jake, you got a big fight coming up now. I know you're training for Stephen Thompson. Anything different you're doing in training?
Different, yes and no. As far as who I'm training with, not really, no. But no, I'm just getting ready for July 12th.
This is you guys tell me fucking nothing. Every week.
I can't give my strategy away.
You can't give your strategy. All right, I got you.
Yeah. But no, July 12th, MGM. It's on a Sunday, actually, headlining a tough finale.
You're headlining it.
Yes.
That's amazing.
You're
always headlining or co-headlining. Even when you're like, you're not, you're like fifth billing, everyone gets hurt and you end up fucking co-headlining. That happened in Mexico.
Hey, man, I'm a company guy, you know? I step up when they need me.
That happened in LA. And then now you're the headliner.
No, I wasn't the co. I was actually the third on the main card of LA, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man.
By the way, Roy Nelson is fighting Josh, your trainer.
In September.
September. And they're already talking shit on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Josh said that.
I love Josh.
Josh said that you inject yourself with gravy shots to Roy Nelson.
I don't know if that's talking shit. That's just fucking funny.
I think it's both. Who do we like in that fight? I think Josh wins.
Josh is going to smash him.
Smash him?
Smash him.
Depends on what Josh shows up. The Josh that shows up that, like, you know, some of these Strike Force Josh and some of the earlier Josh fucking smashes him. Mm-hmm. The Josh that wasn't motivated for Travis Brown, it might be a long night, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think Josh, I mean, the Josh that shows up for Metamoris will fucking smash anybody. He's like the Metamoris king. So how do you think Josh wins, Marina?
Submission.
What round?
First round.
First round?
First round.
Has Roy Nelson ever been submitted? No.
But there's a first time for everything.
So you think, Evan?
What?
Do you think, who wins this fight?
I go with Josh. Nah, I don't know about submission, though.
Yeah,
I go with Josh decision.
Yeah, that's how I go. I think Josh just, how do you submit Roy Nelson?
But what?
I mean, he's almost impossible to submit.
He's like a leg attack.
A leg attack?
Heel hook, knee bar, oh yeah.
Knee bar.
Yeah, that's not bad, yeah.
Are you gonna try to choke him?
You can't.
He's got no neck.
Yeah, you can't. That's what I'm saying. He's got
Who says anything about a neck?
With his arm, an arm bar against Roy Nelson?
Sure, maybe. I don't know.
He's never been submitted ever. But if anybody could do it, it could be Josh. So now you train with Josh, right?
Yeah, every day.
I mean, how motivated is he for this fight?
Well, he's got a couple things going on, but he's always motivated to train, yeah. And he trains harder than some lightweights I know.
Right. Now, they're coaching the Ultimate Fighter in Japan?
I guess so, yeah.
Now, do they speak Japanese?
Josh has decent Japanese from what I hear.
Well, how is Roy going to coach? He's going to be the biggest guy in the history of Japan. Yeah. He's going to go there and tell them. What is he going to tell these Japanese guys?
I don't know.
Is this going to be hilarious? I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah.
I can't wait
That'll
to watch that.
That'll be fun that. To watch.
I can't wait to watch that. So, Art Jimerson, you want to fight Kimbo Slice still?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Really?
Heck yeah.
Yes.
I got to ask you about that real quick before we end the show. So you started your career 35-4.
Yes.
Then you lost your last 9 fights.
Yes.
What happened there?
Well, basically, you know, went through a divorce, and just most fighters, if you see at the end of their career, a lot of them, you know, because you know, a lot of times people catch you at the end of your career.
Yeah.
And it's like you become a target just for a win.
Right.
Have a good name on your record.
So did you go into every one of those fights thinking you're going to win?
Well, a lot of them I did. But again, they call you in a week and a half. You know, they offer you enough money. Someone offers you $20,000 and you're like, you know, broke or you got bills to pay. It's like, okay, sure, I take it, you know.
Right.
So I had a decent job at Pepsi-Cola. So basically, you know, some of the fights I thought I could win. But again, a lot of fights on short notice, you know.
You fought Vasily Jurov.
Yes.
Who I used to watch. He was the outstanding fighter in the Olympics.
Yes, yes.
He was a gold medalist.
Yes.
He was the OW, the outstanding boxer,
yes,
of the Olympics. This guy, if you look up Jirov versus James Toney, yeah, one of the best boxing,
yes,
matches,
yes,
you'll
was
ever see.
Yes.
Now you fight this guy. This guy used, yes, to train with tigers. They said, yes, that they used to lock him in hotel floors with a tiger. I don't know how you get a tiger into a hotel, but and then they would just have him fight tigers.
Yeah.
And his trainer would drop him off in the middle of the ocean and have him swim back. He was from where you're from, basically. He's like,
oh, okay, cool.
Back in those crazy parts of Russia. I think he's from Siberia, actually.
Russia?
But
Eastern Europe.
Oh, wow.
Eastern, yeah, Europe. Now, when you fought Jurov, what was that like?
It was, well, again, you know, he's undefeated, and basically they wanted a good name on a record. So
yeah.
I was kind of going down in my career. But, we were out in Vegas. We was in Vegas or Atlantic City, one of them. I forget which one it was. But anyway, I went into the fight, and I lasted about, I guess, a couple of 2 or 3 rounds. He just hit me with a good body shot. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
He's good with body shots.
Right.
So I gave him a good fight the first 2 or 3 rounds. The third round, they hit me with a good body shot.
But you still think you could beat Kimbo Slice today? Today? Yes.
Fighter is a fighter always, yeah. Adam.
The thing about Kimbo, I respect him. But again, I mean, you know, he's fighting tomato cans.
Right.
You know?
Well, he's fighting Ken Shamrock.
Is he really?
Yeah.
When?
June 18th in Bellator.
Wow. Wow.
I'm looking forward to that. Listen, guys, that was our podcast. I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee this weekend.
Chattanooga
this Friday, Saturday. And then next week, I'm going to be in the Seychelles Islands in India. I'm performing for the Sheik.
Really?
Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
Wow. No, you're not.
Yeah.
When is that?
You're in
next
India?
Week. In the Indian Ocean. In the Indian Ocean. In the Seychelles Islands. They're flying me in to do a private show for the Sheik.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So
don't fuck that one up.
No, we're doing a show on... We're doing...
We'll make it back.
We're doing a show... It's me and Ahmed Ahmed. It's my another
so
comedian.
So you gone for the whole week?
Yeah, I'm gone for the whole week. We're doing a show Wednesday, if you can make it Wednesday.
Just me and Marina then, or what?
You and Marina next week? No.
When you're
no,
going.
This is my fucking no. I'm not getting X'd out of my own fucking podcast.
It's like, no.
No, I'm here, you fuckers. And I got all people going, it was so much better without you. I'm not even getting ready for that.
Come on.
So Jake, where can people find you?
Oh, Ellenberger MMA, Twitter, or watch The Ultimate Fighter Finale, July 12th at the MGM.
And at Art Jemerson,
yes,
on Twitter. Marina?
Marina Shafir everywhere.
Yes. Okay. So we want to thank our sponsors, Dude Wipes. Telling you, get amazon.com/dude products. Keep your ass clean, guys. Clean your fucking asses. You guys, I can smell some of you from here. Also, HempCore. HempCore, great workout, 100% hemp. And I'm telling you, you guys need the protein. It's the best stuff I've ever taken. I was a 4-time prep school class A champion. I would have been a national champion if I were to take HempCore. You can get it at HempCoreStore.com. Also, Remove It Restoration. RemoveItRestoration.com. Get rid of all the vandalism on your store. If you know anybody that has vandalism, hit them up. Thank you so much. Tyron Woodley texted me. He got the wrong hour. So hopefully we'll have Tyron and Jake on in the next couple weeks to settle their differences. But thank you, Evan the Beard. Thank you, Fox Sports. Thank you, Marina Shafir. Thank you, God.
Thanks, Art.
Thank you, God.
Take care. Bye-bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet.
The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.